Teachers are using Legos to get kids interested in programming. Does it actually work? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Now, obviously, Lego is a childhood classic, but in recent years, the company's made a big push around education. Lego makes robotics kits, and kids can learn to code Lego robots on the company's website. And Lego works directly with schools, offering curriculum, teacher training, and competitions to help get kids interested in STEM, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. So we wondered, how are schools actually using Legos in class, and does it actually work? Ian Chow Miller teaches robotics using Legos at a middle school in Washington State. And he says, yeah.
It works because it's tactile, first of all. One of my favorite quotes for Lego usage is, when you put two pieces together, if they don't fit or they don't work, you learn something. If they do fit or they do work, you learn something. So just the actual building blocks and pieces are teaching material for the very simple process of building just a three or four piece, doohickey. I mean, anything you build. And from there is the same thing. When you build a robot, if you put it in wrong and the robot doesn't drive straight, you learn something. If your robot doesn't throw the ball far, you learn something. I let them make a machine that succeeds or fails, and then we talk about how to improve it. And if an applicable physics concept comes up in doing that, that's where I would approach it.
And so then, not to be like the cynical journalist, but then it's okay that it's a company. I feel like there's always this tension about when a company comes into a school, what is their ultimate aim?
So, you know, they need to make money. The robotics kits are expensive. But I think with that, they provide you with tons of material, with tons of support. You know, I would say on the cynic side, yes, it's a corporation trying to make money, but I don't think they are overstating the success of their materials. I don't think they're overstating the easeability of getting into their materials. And I don't think they're overstating the adaptability of the concepts learned to more complex or hardcore machines.
Do you find, or have you found, that you're able to expand the pool of children who are interested in learning STEM concepts? Or do you kind of already have to have a proclivity?
No, I almost prefer students who are not into it. And I don't mean to dismiss those ones who have the proclivity, but I think there are a lot of students who think that engineering is beyond them, or I can't be an engineer, I can't be a computer scientist, I don't get math, so how can I do this? And they are shocked and then overjoyed at finding that they can do this. You know, they will build something and then they'll kind of downplay it. Oh, I just follow the directions. Like, you just made a robot. You are a roboticist. You just wrote a program. You are a programmer.
So it sounds like it's the confidence building first and then the curriculum after on some level?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't mean to be facetious, but I have a curriculum designed because I'm required to have a curriculum designed. I could sit and play with kids and build their confidence and teach them a lot about robotics without ever having a curriculum. I mean, it's just that wonderful of a medium to delve into, just building something and then making it do what you want. You know, who doesn't want to have that? Every student wants to have a voice. And I think in my class, it extends to, they want to have an extension of themselves. They want to be able to make things do what they want. In math and science, I don't mean to knock those classes. In social studies, they're not making things do what they want it so much as they're observing and learning and interacting. In my class, your end result is an extension of your wishes and desires. And so I think that really kind of hooks them in. And then we can take that original excitement and we can teach whatever STEM concepts, engineering, math, science that I want to put in there.
Tell us some cool stories about things your students have built. Has anything really shocked you?
Oh my gosh, there's so much that's really shocked me. One student from 2 years ago who was way on the spectrum would run out of class a lot and had difficulty dealing with other students. And he was also, of course, on my robotics team. So, but he would build amazing robots. He built this one robot that looks like one of the robots in the original Star Wars movie that bounded across the floor of the Death Star. All the other students flocked to him for help with their robots, and he just had the knack for that. While the ones that have gone on to do amazing things are great, the ones that I really like are the ones that just are happy to come to my class and happy to, you know, come to parents' night and say, "Mom, come look at my robot."
Ian Chow Miller teaches robotics at a middle school in Washington State. One other company is interested in the work that LEGO is doing in robotics. Last Friday, Amazon and LEGO announced a contest aimed at students to bring voice commands to a LEGO robot using Amazon's Alexa platform. The winner will get $20,000 in Amazon gift cards. And now for some related links. There are actually lots of companies selling robotics kits and curricula to schools, not just LEGO. Educational researchers say schools spent over $146 million on robotics teaching kits in 2018, and that number will rise to more like $640 million in the next 3 years. Educators generally are saying that the interactivity works. And interestingly, at the Cannes Lions Advertising and Media Gathering this summer, LEGO's chief marketing officer said that when the company was facing financial troubles about a decade ago, it specifically decided to double down on education. And now it's paying off. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.